Well, a couple, maybe a month or so ago, Jen texted me and said, "Hey, men's retreat's coming up. we need a speaker for that Sunday. I can do it unless you have something." Here we go with the clearing the throat again. And I sent back to her. I said, "Well, Jen, really, I mean, I don't. God hasn't given me a message yet. So why don't you go ahead and prepare? And if He does give me something, I'll let you know." Okay, great, good. A couple days later, I'm driving up to Penn State with Mark Kremis right there. The guy's sitting there with his arms across his chest, like he's mad at me. And we're going to a long range competition shoot up there, and we start talking and yakking as usual. And of course, he gets over on his politic thing, and then he says something. You know, how did we ever get here anyway? As a nation. And I said, "Well, I know exactly how we got here." And he said, "Really? Yeah." And he said, "Well, you know." So the next hour, probably, I right, Mark? Was it an hour? I enlightened him. And then afterwards, he says, "Holy cow, Rick." He didn't say holy cow, but he said, "Whoa." He said, "I never heard this stuff. I don't think anybody knows this stuff." He said, "You've got a gift. You have to use that gift, and you have an obligation to tell people what you know." Is that what you said, Mark? That's what he said. That's what he said. So I said, "Okay, well, I don't know. Jen just, you know, texted me. Now Mark's telling me I have to do this." So I got back to Jen. I said, "Okay, I think God has hit me on the head with a 2x4. And so, okay, I'll do this." And so then Nancy and I went out west, and then we were coming back across the, I guess it was Ohio last Sunday morning, and Nancy has Jen on Facebook, right? And we're listening to her message, and it's there to be a Jonah, right? And because during those 2 weeks, I'm like, I really don't want to bring this message. This is just going to be a mess, you know? and then, you know, I heard God speak. Jen always, for some reason, she and I have always had this connection in spirit that God tells her what I need to hear. Right? And God spoke to me and said, because she said Jonah was uniquely qualified to bring that message to Nineveh, right? And he tried to run from it. And God spoke to me and said, "Remember, Mark told you, you're uniquely qualified to bring this message. Dare to be a Jonah." So that's what I'm doing today, daring to be a Jonah. You're not Nineveh. Right, I'm preaching to the choir here, but in case anybody's out there listening in Lulu Land or wherever you are, or you know, maybe somebody in posterity will listen to this message, and you ever say, because I've heard this question a number of times, how did we ever get here? Meaning, how did we ever become so divided as a nation? Right, and so hopefully this. Okay, hang on to your seats. Here we go. There's a lot to be said, but that's all by way of introduction. So how did we get here? And I can tell you right now that I do believe this is a unique perspective. I've never heard anybody else say this. This is the result of my lifetime, since I'm 19 years old, my lifetime of studying God's Word, committed to Him, having gone through the entire educational process in the secular realm, going through a couple of different seminaries, and a lifetime of ministry. This is my unique perspective on how we got here. Let's read together and aloud some scriptures. We got a lot of scriptures today. Together and aloud, are you ready? "For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah." Who said that? Jesus Christ. Matthew 24. I've always interpreted the book of Revelation through Matthew 24, because that is the whole chapter where Jesus outlines how it will be before He returns. Let's read together. Genesis. "Then God said to Noah, 'The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and behold, I'm about to destroy them with the earth.'" And now Peter refers to this, long afterwards, about almost 100 years after Jesus Christ has been born and died. Let's read what Peter said about this. "Know this, first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts and saying, 'Where is the promise of His coming?' But by His word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Now, John, another one of the apostles, weighed in on this whole subject. And let's talk a little bit now about the spirit of the Antichrist that all the apostles said would be very prevalent and present in the last days preceding Jesus Christ's return. Let's read 1 John 4, 1 through 3. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. Okay? The spirit of the Antichrist specifically denies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, died on a cross, and rose from the dead, and is coming back again. That's what the spirit of the Antichrist denies. Now, you see I have three names there. Keep those three names in mind, because they're going to become very important as we go through this message. You might have heard some of these names. Maybe you haven't. If you went to college, you've heard these names. If you haven't gone to college, you haven't heard these names, probably especially the last one. I'm telling you, these are the three false prophets that have set up the worldview that we now are subject to, and is causing the division in our country, although in most of the world it's already fully accepted and implemented. Now, so let's talk a little bit about how Satan is using the spirit of the Antichrist today in his futile attempt. Okay, I'm not saying, is this futile? I'll tell you right now, God wins. All right, I am not in any way concerned or upset or fearful, right? But there is a huge battle going on for the souls of men, and as long as people can be saved, Jesus Christ will put off his return. Okay, but the Bible very clear that Satan will gain in the world his followers and those who reject Christ and follow the spirit of the Antichrist. And in fact, he will become so prevalent that Jesus said that before he returns, it will become almost, if not truly, impossible for believers to be believers in him and followers of him without being persecuted so severely that they are either killed or imprisoned. Hallelujah! Well, this is great news, Rick! So, okay. And one, the dissemination of misinformation. Say it. The dissemination of misinformation. That is Satan's root strategy. Jesus said he is a liar. He's the liar from the beginning, and he is the source of all lies. Okay? So the dissemination of misinformation is his root strategy. Right? We're going to be talking about that a little bit. He has to cast dispersion on the concept that there is absolute truth. Okay, I'm not going to... This is another whole message here. But Pilate said, what is truth? Right? Today, you know, everybody's calling everybody else a liar. And the cultural concept is, well, it's your truth. But there's no real truth. Right? Okay. That is all Satan's strategy to make people believe there is no real truth. All right. Okay, the misinformation is always seeking to blame others in order to cause division. If he can blame you, you know, then if he can blame you for his problem, then, you know, all of a sudden he got a little division and strife going on, right? All right. And then he's always shaming others into feeling guilty or that he's the problem or less intelligent. I went through college and I'd stand up in the evolution class and I would say blah, 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 blah. And they would say, well, Rick, if you were as smart as us, you wouldn't believe in God. Right? And you get this superiority. If you were as smart as us, you know, and, anyway, you know, I mean, I did graduate summa cum laude, right? From Penn State in pre-med, right? Anyway, let's read together Matthew 24:24. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Throughout my entire life, Christians get all hung up on the signs and wonders. Well, we're waiting for the big miracles. Let me tell you something. What we see today in our world, 2,000 years ago, everything would be considered a sign and a wonder and a miracle. Everything can be seen instantly around the world. That's a pretty... Okay, let's read on. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who was called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Okay, he was thrown down to the earth at Christ's resurrection. He is here now. And what's his plan? What's he want to do? Deceive the whole world. How? Using his false prophets. Spreading the spirit of the Antichrist. Antichrist, anti in Greek means in substitute, to replace Christ. Okay? So, when I say that today, as we are proceeding the last days of before his return, we can expect to see so much dissemination of misinformation, deception, that our heads are spinning. Anybody's head spinning? Oh, yeah. Is this strategy working? Oh, yeah. Ephesians 5:6, together and aloud. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Why is Jesus Christ going to return and the destruction of ungodly men going to happen at Christ's return? Why? It says it right here. That doesn't work on there. Because of the deception. Because you have been deceived with empty words. Not you. You're sitting here listening to me. But the vast majority of the world has been deceived by the deceiver whose purpose is to deceive the whole world. That's why I'm telling you his strategy is the dissemination of misinformation. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no one in any way deceive you. For it, the return of Christ, will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. Okay. I'm going to be making the point today that we are in the midst of the apostasy. The apostasy means leaving the true faith. Okay, you had to have true faith and then you had to leave it. Okay? Okay, and then the man of lawlessness is revealed. Everybody's waiting for one specific man to become the man of lawlessness. And that may well be the case eventually, but I can tell you right now already that the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, will become if it is become a person, he simply will be the leader of what the Bible calls the beast, that is the government gone rogue from God. Okay, there are 69 warnings, and that's a minimum. I mean, there's many other warnings, but there's 69 warnings in the Bible to beware of being deceived and the terrible consequences it brings. This is no small thing. Satan is a source of misinformation. All the nations are deceived by him. Believers are also at the risk of being deceived. Deceived believers constitute the apostasy. Okay. I'll tell you right now where I'm going to go with that one. Okay. Might as well say it, just because I'm going to say it later anyway. The liberal denominations, of which many of you were raised and were a part of, they are the apostate church. They have left the true faith, and I'm going to explain to you exactly how and why that happened. The wrath of God will come to the earth because of the mass deception that will be happening on the earth just preceding Christ's return. Okay, the source of the massive deception of the nations that is happening today. It comes through the spirit of the Antichrist. It is embodied. In other words, you know, when Jesus, you know, looked at the Pharisees, we're going to read this in a minute. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were attacking him, you know, accusing him of casting out devils by the power of the devil. See, this is one of Satan's main strategies. Whatever he's doing, he wants to accuse another person of doing that's not doing the same thing. You know, like when somebody accuses somebody else of being a liar, right? Guess who's the liar? Right? That's Satan's strategy. Right. To make somebody anyway. Okay, I can't get caught up on this. We got a lot to cover. We got communion today, right? So okay, but it anyway. Oh, what I was going to say is that Jesus said to them, "You are of the devil. Your father, the devil." In other words, for Satan to do his deal, he's got to somehow get embodied in people so that they can express what Satan's trying to accomplish. Right. There are real people who embody Satan's spirit of Antichrist. They more than likely are not even aware that they're being used by the devil. They absolutely believe they're doing the right thing. They absolutely believe that they are, you know, Pharisees and Sadducees believe they were doing a great favor to their people. But it's embodied in the persons making up the organizations and institutions that promote the values and goals of Satan, which we'll cover in a minute. Okay, number one, the government-controlled institutions, political parties and platforms, secular education, this is what the Bible calls the beast. Government gone rogue from God and its purpose by being created by God. The second way that the Bible says that deception comes is through the great harlot of Revelation 17 and 18, and that the great harlot is religion, right? The values and goals of Satan. His goal is to rob, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. His strategy is to deceive and divide. His values are the opposite of the God of the Bible. Everybody say, God of the Bible. These people will use the word God. They'll even say they believe in God. I can guarantee you they are not talking about the same being that you and I are talking about when we say God. When we say God, we're thinking of Jesus Christ resurrected, returning in power. We're thinking of God the Father who's in heaven ruling with a good, benevolent hand. When they say God, they are talking about if they're not just using it to want to be accepted and to deceive real believers in God, which is more than likely the case, what they are talking about is some impersonal force out there that has set into motion things and has taken his hands off. So, God of the Bible. If I use the word God, I'm talking about God of the Bible, which they vehemently hate and deny. Why? Because he has written in his book some stuff that's called righteousness. Values that are absolutely right. They are true. They are eternal. And they absolutely deny and reject his righteousness, his values. In fact, they call them evil. Let's take just throw out some examples. Abortion, the murder of unborn children. They say this is good. This is health care. God says it is murder. Homosexuality is normal. God made us this way. The Bible says, God says, this is a perversion that will bring about the wrath of God upon mankind. They say, well, your belief in God, that's the problem in the world. It's the source of all bigotry and hatred. That's the cause of all the wars in the world. God's word says, no, God is love. They say lawlessness is justified protest against social injustice. It's not my fault. It's what was done to me. Jesus said lawlessness will be a characteristic just before I return, that the lawlessness will be so great that the love of most believers will grow cold. Let's read some scriptures. I'm going to drink some water. I didn't use my chair yet. Lloyd said I probably wouldn't use my chair. To prove Lloyd wrong, let's read these scriptures together and aloud. You Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious and political leaders of Israel, are of your father, the devil. Let me just stop there a minute, okay? Do you see where I'm going with this? All right? The harlot and the beast, the government and the religious leaders, together created misinformation. Remember his trial? To kill him. They are of your father, the devil. And you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the... Are you reading? I can't hear you read. Huh? Listening to me? Lloyd says, I got to stand up, otherwise you won't read. Is that true? Lloyd. Let's start from, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. All right, let's read what Jesus said about him. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Let's read on. But he knew their thoughts and said to them, any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a house divided against itself falls. You know, he's talking there about Satan's strategy, what he's trying to accomplish through his lies. And I'm calling lies misinformation, purposeful misinformation. Let's read on. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. So if you know what the Bible teaches, you know what God counts as right, and you see people who are advocating something different than that, then you know exactly what their source is and where they stand. They are of the spirit of the Antichrist. They are embodiment of Satan's strategy to rob, kill, and destroy. All right, let's read on. Come here, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality, and those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her immorality. And the angel said to me, why do you wonder? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her. Why do you wonder? I'm going to tell you the mystery. I'm telling you the mystery right now. The mystery of the great harlot is false religion. What immorality? Think about it. Is abortion immoral? Is homosexuality immoral? You betcha it is. All the people of the earth revel in her immorality. I'm telling you, liberal denominations teach that abortion, homosexuality, all these things that God calls immoral, they say it's moral. They say there's nothing wrong with it. They say that's the way God made them. See, they're not talking about the real God. They're talking about a different God, a God they have produced. Okay, let's read on. And these will wage war against the Lamb. Okay, who are these? These who will wage war, they are the harlot and the beast. The beast who carries her, right? I'm telling you, a false government supports the liberal denominations, the religions that together with them, they deny the deity, the resurrection, and the return of Jesus Christ. I'm going to get into that a little bit more. The government carries her. Together, they work together to create this network of deception by which, if the days were not cut short, even the elect would be deceived. Let's read on. For God has... we didn't finish reading Revelation 17, 14. These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. Wait a minute. Who wins? Jesus Christ wins. But that doesn't mean there's no war. There is a big war, and we're in the middle of that war, right? But the Lamb wins! The Lamb, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, wins! So you want to be sure you're on His side and not the side of the Antichrist, because you will lose, even though it will seem for years and years like you're winning. Because He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and let's read it, those who are with Him. See, I'm going to end up this message saying, who are you with? Are you with Him or are you with the world? Who are you with? These are the called, the chosen, and the faithful, as opposed to the apostate. All right, let's read on. For God has put it in their hearts, the nations and the harlot, to execute His purpose by having a common purpose and by giving their kingdom to the beast until the words of God will be fulfilled. So you don't have to worry. You know, God is allowing all this to happen for a reason. What is that reason? The cream comes to the top. He's looking to see who is faithful. Who is faithful? Who's with me? So the beast is government gone rogue from God. The harlot is religion gone rogue from God. You know what going rogue means, right? Doing your own thing. Okay, and all the nations were deceived by her sorcery, and in her, the harlot, false religion, was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who have been slain on the earth. What I understand from that is that it's false religion that really is the source of all of the deception that ultimately will bring the great persecution against true believers. I'm going to explain that in a minute, how that happened. But let me tell you what I'm going to tell you. The false religions, the liberal denominations who have accepted that Jesus Christ was not truly God, that He did not rise from the dead, and He's not coming back again one day. They have been teaching this for... 1950, today's 70 years. And all those who have received those preachings and teachings from the pulpit and their Sunday school teachers, blah, 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 have now grown up, have become politicians, have become leaders, teachers, all around the world. And they have become the source of the hatred toward true believers. Because they believe that we are the problem. Because we will not conform and agree with their agenda. Okay, this is a little bit from my last time I preached, the 4th of July message. And it just simply is, I proved in the 4th of July message, and you can go back online and watch that, I don't want to take the time right now. I proved at that point what the purpose of government and religion was, that they were created by God for the purpose of promoting freedom for God's people. Freedom from evil people who would stop you from pursuing your best life. Religion is supposed to teach faith in God that gives you power over sin that would keep you from living your best life. They've gone rogue from God in that they've created their own agendas for the aggrandizement of themselves. And they're corrupted. All right. False religion is called the harlot because they have absolutely betrayed the... And if you read the Bible, you'll see that that word harlot, prostitute, adulteress, is throughout the entire Bible that God calls those who said they were committed to Him and then betrayed that commitment. The same way that a wife or husband who betrays... Okay, this is... They're kings, they're leaders, they're priests, they're prophets. All right. Okay. The leaders are the problems, and I just explained to you Why? Because they have been influencing the... The two main ways Satan embodies his deceptions and information are through government and religion, the beast and the harlot. Remember, these two worked together to murder Jesus Christ because he had come to set his people free from their lies and enslavement. Again, that's from July 4th. So who today embodies these values? And how did we get here? All that to get to this. Good intro. Good. Okay, what I'm telling you today is that the three great prophets that have built the foundation of the Antichrist deception and have deceived the whole world is Karl Marx, 1848, Charles Darwin, Origin of Species, and Nietzsche's The Death of God in 1885. They come one after the other. They are a progression. I have a picture of the books. Oops. Yeah. There they are. These three books were gradually, okay, like you saw there, began right before the Civil War, 1848, all the way through 1885. But these concepts built on one another, and they gradually became accepted by the elite educators of the world as the truths that explain all of life. Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto taught that socialism/communism is the natural, inevitable progression or evolution of social and economic structures. Okay? You have to understand, most of the world, all the nations of the world, most of them have already accepted that truth. Even those who call themselves democratic, let's say, for example, England, they have accepted, because Karl Marx taught that socialism, that the people, democratic socialism, that is, that the people get to elect their leaders or their politicians, but the politicians then rule all the people and make sure that nobody has more than anybody else and that everything is shared equally. Okay? That's what Karl Marx taught. They believe that that is ultimately the ultimate conclusion of human society. Everybody equally shares. Nobody has more than anybody else. And the government's required to make that happen because people are naturally greedy, selfish, and will hoard to themselves as much as they can. Understand, around the world, all universities teach that this is the ultimate and good conclusion of human society. If you're sending your kids to college, they will be taught that socialism is the ultimate good conclusion of human society. It's a natural progression. It's got to happen. Let's go on to Charles Darwin, Origin of the Species, 1859. He, of course, knew Karl Marx, had read the book Manifesto, and so that was the concept that triggered to him, all of biological life is also taking on this inevitable march toward a great conclusion, and he called it On the Origin of Species. It's a natural, inevitable progression of all biological life. He wrote it in 1859. Both of these books became gradually accepted, but by the elite educators, they were fully accepted in the universities by 1950. I was born in 1952. Probably not too many people in this room were born before that. I see Lucy back there. I know she was. Okay, we got three people here born before me. Three people? Oh, we got Carrie up there. Okay. Oh, you. Okay. Here we go. I'm older than you. Well, if you're as old as me or older, then you live through this stuff. And I don't know if you realize what you lived through or not, but this was happening. And then, of course, Friedrich Nietzsche. Who here has heard of Friedrich Nietzsche? I'll just go on and say, you know, if you go to seminary, you know, he is the God of true thought. What's a seminary? A seminary is after college, you go to seminary if you want to become a minister. Seminaries teach and they educate those who would become ministers. Okay? Nietzsche is the, you know, he's just great. Right? He wrote the article, The Death of God. And in The Death of God, he wrote that God became Jesus. Jesus died on a cross because we know that the resurrection was a hoax created by the apostles, that God was in Jesus. When he died, he died. God died. There is no God now anywhere. That man is now on his own. Okay? Now, okay, there's no resurrection. There's no return of Christ. So we got to save ourselves. Right? Now, Friedrich Nietzsche was the hero of, you know, when I was in seminary, right? I mean, in my first year and a half of seminary, I spent my entire time arguing with the professors because we had to read Paul Tillich, Thomas Altheiser, which, by the way, just died in 2018 in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. Thomas Altheiser. Okay, and then there's Hegel. But anyway, these guys wrote, Karl Barth, these guys wrote huge books of systematic theology, right? Based on Friedrich Nietzsche's teaching that God was dead. And these became the theologies accepted by all major liberal denominations. And I spent hours arguing with the professors, you know, and you know, but you have to understand, in these seminaries, these guys are coming out being taught Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. That is a myth perpetrated by the disciples. There is no return of Christ happening. And that's why people sitting in these liberal denominations, they're sitting there, you don't hear about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You don't hear about the second return of Christ because they don't believe it. I don't know how many people over the years I've challenged. Go to your minister and you ask him direct, one-on-one, do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Watch his face. Through his mind's going to be, well, if I tell them the truth, they're probably going to stop coming to my church. So, yeah, I believe in it, I think. Go next step up to the bureaucracies. Go to the people, the fat cats sitting in the denominational headquarters looking for the money to come in to pay their salaries. Ask them if they believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I can guarantee you they don't. This is why they are the harlot. This is why they have betrayed Jesus. This is why they betrayed God and become unfaithful to him. They do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his second return. What do they believe? Paul Tillich, Thomas Altheiser, what I was taught in my first year of seminary when I finally said, I got to get out of here, I'm losing my faith. What I was taught that the kingdom of God on earth, what the Bible really wants, is the implementation of democratic socialism on the earth. That is the kingdom of God. I how many of you knew that? A couple of you knew it. Okay. And you might be sitting, well, I never heard that before. I can't believe that. Yeah, it's a well-kept secret, but I'm telling you the absolute truth. Most ministers in liberal denominations, they were taught the kingdom of God is going to happen through democratic socialism. And so when you see people like Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden coming up, you know, we could go on back, Barack Obama, we go on back to the leaders of Jimmy Carter. I voted for him in 1976. He's a born-again Christian. Next thing I know, he's supporting abortion. I'm like, what in the world's going on here? Why does this party support these anti-Christ views? Because they were raised in churches who taught them that the ultimate progression of human society is democratic socialism. Jesus Christ is not coming back. That our only hope for mankind is democratic socialism, not Christ's return. There, I told you what I'm going to tell you, and now I'll tell you how I told you. This has been widely accepted by the major universities, seminaries, Protestant denominations around the world. So how did we get here? Since 1950s, universities and theological seminaries have produced hundreds of thousands of graduates that were taught that there is no God. You might want to take a picture of that. That is the great deception of the nations. That's the great deception of the nations. What is it? There is no God, and democratic socialism is the natural, inevitable conclusion of human progression. This is the Antichrist worldview, which is Satan's great deception of the nations. If anybody asks you, what is the great deception of the nations, that's it. There is no God, and democratic socialism is the answer to man's needs. Today's teachers, media producers, politicians, religious leaders are the product of this worldview and philosophy. You've often heard me say over the years, yep, they drank the juice. Right? That's what I'm saying. They drank the juice, right? And they today continually vehemently advance and convince those under their influence. If you don't feel like you're being pressured to believe something, then you're living in the woods, because you are being pressured to believe something that down deep inside of you says that's just not right. The world's governments have also embraced these three false prophets of the secular worldview. What are the three prophets? Let's give a little test. What are the three prophets of the great of the Antichrist worldview? First one, Karl Marx. Second one, Charles Darwin. Third one, Friedrich Nietzsche. Well, you guys are smart, man. Okay. The world's governments have all embraced these three false prophets. This is the Antichrist worldview, which is Satan's great deception of the nations. Only the United States still continues in this battle. Jesus said, in all the nations of the world, you will be hated and persecuted on my name, for my name's sake. All the nations of the world. Only the United States. Nancy and I just drove across the country. You had the two coasts, and then you had this great big huge in the middle where you see all the Trump and Pence signs, right? On the two coasts, you know, what do you have? Right. Okay, I won't get into that. But anyway, I got this vision. I got this vision of a head and the two ears, the coasts, right, thinking that they're the brain, where the brain's in the middle. Isn't that good? Okay, and only the United States still continues in this battle, and it's seen in the struggle and division of our citizens, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, and liberal denominational churches and biblical evangelical churches. Okay. Why have biblical evangelical churches seen great growth and the mass exodus of the liberal denominational churches? Why has that happened in the last 50 years? I've already told you. Because some people cannot stomach the fact that, man alive, there's no power here. There's no truth. What's going on here? This is yuck. And others say, oh, I believe it 100%. Like I said, Jesus is causing the great separation. Who's with me? Who's with me? In the United States, liberal denominational churches and the Democratic Party embraced a secular Antichrist worldview and its ramifications. See, I'm being very clear here. I don't want to be misunderstood. Let me be clear. The liberal denominational churches have raised up these politicians who now head the Democratic Party. And they are embracing the Antichrist view. What is that? God is dead. Democratic socialism is the hope of mankind. While biblical evangelical churches, which we are, that's why you're hearing this message here from me right now, and the Republican Party embraced the biblical worldview and its ramifications, anti-abortion, First and Second Amendments, etc. People say, "Why, Rick, why do you wear that shirt that says God, guns, and Trump?" I almost, and thank you, Christina Bender. Where is she? There she is. She gave it to me as a gift. You know, I almost wore it today. I'm like, well, you know something? I don't want anybody getting up because they're offended at my shirt and not listening to what I have to say. Right? But I'm telling you, you might think that Donald Trump is a bad man, that he's coarse, whatever. Think whatever you want. He's the first person since Ronald Reagan who has absolutely taken on the Antichrist party for the well-being of unborn children. The last 3.5 years of attack on him, the hatred toward him, it's all explained by what I just told you. They say we're the people of hatred. No, they hate us because we won't go along with their agenda. But they cast it back on us the same way that Satan did and the Pharisees and Sadducees did on Jesus. What then should we do? First of all, decide, how are we doing for time? 9:45. What time is this service over? Huh? Oh, by 10. Oh, we'll be done by 10. I'll be done by 10. Now, we're landing this, okay? First of all, decide who are you with. Revelation 17:14 says, the Lamb wins and those who are with him. Stay alert. 1 Peter 5:8 says, stay alert, for the devil, like a prowling lion, prowls about seeking whom he may devour. Believe me, the wolf is at your doors. And he wants you for dinner. And he's as smart as he can be to convince you that you're the best, that it'd be in your good interest to be his dinner. Understand, you are in great danger of being deceived by the spirit of the Antichrist. Read scripture every day. It's the only thing that really feeds the spirit and the soul and builds faith. Until Christ returns, dare to be a Jonah, Jen says. If you've understood what I've said, then you have a unique perspective on what's happening and how we got here and what's going to happen in the future. You get an opportunity, share it. Get yourself a God, Guns, and Trump shirt. You wouldn't believe how many conversations I got over that. And how many scowls I got. Which I was like, come on, bring it on. As long as still possible in the United States, vote for the candidates that embrace God's values and righteousness and not the Antichrist secular worldview. I'm not saying the hope of the world is government. I know it's not. Jesus Christ's return is the hope of the world. Right? You know, there's always this great fear. Oh, you can't say who to vote for in church because it's Johnson's Amendment. Well, thank God President Trump struck down Johnson's Amendment because it's unconstitutional. I can tell you right now, there's no way a born-again believer can vote for a Democrat candidate. Because if you are, you're voting for the abortion of unborn children, and you're voting for a murderer. So when I say vote for Donald Trump, I'm telling you, vote for the only person who stands for the values of God's righteousness. And don't listen to the people who say, oh, well, he's a bad man. He's arrogant. Blah, 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 blah. He might be all those things. You read the Bible. There's not many people God used who weren't kind of like that. Why? Well, unfortunately, easygoing people tend not to stand up to confrontation. Right? Yeah, I would say that Donald Trump is uniquely qualified to be the President of the United States at this point in time. I was amazed when he got it voted in 2016. I was prepared already for Hillary Clinton to win, and we're going down the other road now. I'm like, what? He won? Well, that's a miracle. What? I could buy ammunition again? Right? Now all of a sudden, guess what? You can't buy ammunition again. I mean, you can buy it, but it's really tough and it's really expensive. All right. I digress, right? When Jesus' prophecy comes about that persecution of his followers will become so intense that it's no longer possible for them to survive in this world, okay? That's where it's going. I don't know when. Probably not tomorrow. But that's where that's where the Bible says it's going to go. Look, Jesus said, look up, for your redemption draws near. That is, Jesus Christ will appear in the sky and establish his kingdom once and for all on the earth, of which you will be an internal part. Jesus said, those who are with me. Let's read some last scriptures. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. But when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. And that's it. So are you enlightened now? Mark's like, my head can't take all this. All right, now you know how we got here, and you know where we're going. Amen? So we come to the Lord's tables where we're going right now. And again, you know, music ministry, come up. And of course, and you know, we understand, and if you'd rather not partake of that's fine. You know, there's no judgment here. But the table's open to whoever would like to come to it. And as we come to the table, I just want you to, you know, what you're going to be saying is, you tear off that bread and you dip it in the juice, go back to your seat and say, Lord, I'm with you. I'm with you. Let's say it together. I'm with you. Let's say, Lord, I'm with you. Lord, I'm with you. Before we do this, I'd like us to bow our heads and close our eyes. I wonder if there's anyone here today who has never made that decision to be with him, to consecrate your life to him, give your life to him, let him come into your heart and live inside of you forever and ever. If you've never made that decision, if you look up at me, let our eyes meet, wave at me so I can see you looking at me, and I want to agree together with you that today's the day you're making that decision to be with Jesus Christ forever and ever. Anyone here today making that decision? Okay. Great. I kind of figured I was preaching to the choir this morning. That's fine. At this time, let's pray this prayer with me together. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you so much that you came to earth to show us who God was. You died on a cross to pay for my sins. You rose from the dead to defeat death and Satan. And you're coming back again one day to establish your kingdom. Lord Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I'm with you. Amen. Amen.